Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
All right. This is the final message in a series called We Are Family. And just to give you a little bit of a review, a few weeks ago, Pastor James talked about the idea that it takes conversion to get us into God's family, something that Christ does on our behalf. And then we talked about community, the idea that we do life, not just church together, but we do life together in family. Two weeks ago, Bishop Rice and Pastor James did a tag team about the contribution, that every single person has a gift and a talent, and everyone has something to give in the family of God. And last week, Pastor James talked about the idea that we are commissioned beyond the church walls. We at Bethel, we're not just about Bethel. We're about reaching this city and eventually reaching the world through this city. There's a commission we have that's not just about this location and what happens within this church, but this church is supposed to go out and be a blessing to the whole community and the whole culture. And then today, to wrap up this series, we're talking about the word connection. How do we connect, and what does connecting look like or mean? Now, and I want to talk specifically about two things that hinder connection. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. If you don't have a Bible, you'll see it on the screens to your right and your left. And anytime I think about connection, my mind goes back to my favorite toy growing up, and hopefully, probably your favorite toy too, the favorite toy of everybody who had an American upbringing. And it's this, it's Lego. How many of you played with Lego? Anybody still play with Lego? Anybody admit it? All right, that's why you had kids, so you could keep doing that. If you'll notice, Lego, there are many different shapes, many different sizes, many different colors. But one thing in common, all Lego is designed to connect. People are like Lego. Look around you. Many different shapes. Many different sizes. Many different colors. One thing everybody you're looking around at has in common, we're designed to connect. We want to look at Scripture and see, what does this idea of connect mean? Now, we've all had different church experiences. Some good, some bad. How many of you had some bad church experiences? My bad church experiences have typically been the pastor's fault. Now, I happen to have been the pastor of most of the churches I've been involved in, and it's definitely been his fault. Think about family. Not church family, your family. Some of you have had good experiences in family, some have had bad. Think of your experience in marriage, good and bad. Now, when we think about the experience we've all had in church, I don't want to view church out of my own experience. I want Scripture to shape my view of church. I don't want my view of what marriage should be to be shaped by my grandparents and my parents and my own personal experience. I want my view of marriage to be shaped by Scripture. What does the Bible say that should be? So when we think about church, we want Scripture to form. And so many people allow their experiences that are good and bad to dictate how they engage or don't engage, how they connect or disconnect from church. That's not a good way to live. We want to be people of the book, people who allow God's Word to be the final say on how we do life and marriage and family, and for the purpose of this message, how we do church. Now, the Bible gives four pictures to help us understand church. One of those pictures is family. And there are a lot of relational words used, brother, sister, you know, father, mother, those kind of things in Scripture. Another of the pictures to describe the church is the idea of a building. The Bible talks often about, Paul uses ideas of foundations and living stones and building, the whole idea of building and architects and that type of thing. Another one is the bride. The bride is a picture of the church. And that means the purity and the holiness and being ready and the expectation. But we're not going to talk about any of those today, but that's what should form our view of church. We want to talk about the fourth one, and that is the body. The human body is given by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 as a picture to help us understand church. And when we think about the church as a body, like the human body, the writings of Paul scream one simple point, and it is this. There are no spare parts. You think about the human body, there are no spare parts. There's nothing extra that's not needed. Now, I'm a new grandfather, okay? And I have had to assemble things that are to put babies in, to roll them in, to let them sleep in, to all kinds of things. There's a new thing that it seems like my wife buys every week for don't tell my wife this, she'll be at the next service, but every time I assemble something, there are always leftover parts. I don't know why the manufacturers put these random spare parts. How many of you assemble something? Did they put spare parts in yours? Seriously, how many of you? All right, now I know some of you, they don't. Now, I doubt there's spare parts in yours, JT. Curtis, you're an engineer. There's never a spare part, right? How many of you never have spare parts when you assemble something? You're probably the same people who read the directions too. My dad raised me right. Real men don't read directions. Sorry, we can edit that. Chris is going to clarify that next week at the men's meeting, okay? Chris, you got to take care of that for me. But the body, there are no spare parts. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Here's our text. Now you are the body of Christ, an individually members of it. Simple text. This is where we're going to camp today in this short, simple message. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Now, the problem in here is the word you. Let's look at this one word, you. What does you mean? You is second person plural, but it's also second person singular. You're looking at me like you don't know English. Pastor Bruce Fidler is going to teach the book of Philippians. We just advertised this, going through the original language, which is Greek, and helping understand what the words mean in the book of Philippians. Now, I'm not going to do any Greek to you today. We'll let Pastor Bruce do that later. I want to give you the plain Tennessee version in just a moment. The plain old Tennessee. Now, that word you, because sometimes it's plural and sometimes it's singular, in English, we've got to go beyond the normal English to understand what it means. The King James Bible is helpful. How many read a King James? How many of you understand a King James? King James says two words for you. What are those words? Ye or thou. Ye is a plural version of you. Thou is singular, but our modern English word, you, we don't ever know if it's plural or singular. Stick with me now. This is going to make sense in a moment when I break it down to real Tennessee talk. In the King James, the word here in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 is not thou. It's not thou art the body of Christ. You are not the body of Christ by yourself. It's ye are the body of Christ. Ye, plural. In, I don't know the Greek, but in the Tennessee, the word is y'all. Y'all are the body of Christ. You by yourself are not the full representation of Christ. There's a corporate thing to this where we have to connect. And as we connect with others who are different shape, different size, different color, we connect and then we are the body of Christ. Now, there are two hindrances that come out of this passage. We find the first one in verse 14. And here are the two lies that come up when we're trying to connect. It is this: they don't need me, and I don't need them. Have you ever heard those voices? They don't really need me, that insecurity. And I don't really need them, that independence. And until we deal with insecurity and independence in our own souls, we will never really have healthy connections in the family of God. Paul deals with it right here. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot, here's a talking foot, the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less part of the body. 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not make it any less. So notice that phrase, four words. I do not belong. The foot is saying, I do not belong. The ear is saying, I do not belong. Have you ever heard some part of you saying that? When you're trying to connect with the family of God, something saying, I don't belong here. You've ever heard that? Now, if you'll notice, it's the less visible parts, the less celebrated parts, are feeling insecure and unimportant. It's the ear saying to the eye. Think about the ear and the eye. We make a big deal about the eye. Hopefully, only you women. You're plucking, you're curling, you're painting, you're doing all kinds of things. You're not wearing glasses, you're putting contacts because you want people to see your eye. Even the fake colors you put on those contact lenses. But what do we do with our ears? We cover them up with hair. Nobody's painting their ears. We poke holes in them. We use them just to hang our glasses on. We don't celebrate the ear. Have you ever seen that couple in a beautiful, nice restaurant, tablecloth, candles, rose, a violinist over there in the corner, and there, you know the guy's about to ask her to marry him, and so what is he doing? He's looking and peering into her ear. If you ever do that and you see a light at the end of the tunnel, that's not the one. He's not peering into her ear, he's peering into her eye. And so the ear feels insecure because it doesn't get the attention that. Now it says the foot cannot say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong. And so again, now it's the foot. The hand gets its own commercials. There are hand models. And again, I hope it's the women, not the men, are getting their hand, their fingernails, paying people to file them down. Men just bite them or scrape them on the concrete. Painting them and shining them and buffing them and putting gold on our fingers. But what do we do to our feet? We cover them up because they're ugly and they stink. They're not visible. Nobody's, look, what beautiful feet you have. No, but people do talk about beautiful hands. People worry about wrinkles on their hands. People don't worry about wrinkles on their feet. They just cover them. And so it's the foot going, I don't belong. And there's a tendency for that insecurity when we're not getting the limelight and we're not getting the spotlight. There's a tendency to say, I don't belong. When my wife and I first went to the Philippines 30 years ago, I can't explain it, but I know it. That's where we belonged. I don't know how to explain it. We belonged there. We didn't look like everybody else. We were white people in a brown world. We were Americans in a Philippine world. Culturally, in every way you can imagine, we were the oddballs, but we belonged. Now, the fact that we belonged, did that make it easy? No, it didn't. Did it mean that everything was now perfect from then on? No, because of the pastor of that church. Did it mean that everyone there wanted me to belong? No, a lot of people wanted me to get back on the plane and leave. But you know what? We belonged. And we didn't listen to that thing that says, because I'm not like that, and because I'm not like that, and because I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm not that, therefore I don't belong. There was a voice coming to these people. And Paul's addressing it, this voice of, I don't belong because I'm not like that. Belonging doesn't make it perfect. Belonging doesn't make it easy. Belonging doesn't mean that magically everything's okay now. Belonging means belonging. That's it. Now, let's go into independence for a moment in the last few minutes we have. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Now it's the celebrated, the eye and the hand, the ones that get all the attention. I don't need you. Nor can the foot say to the head, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the body, the parts that seem weaker are indispensable. The visible, celebrated members now are saying, I don't need you. First lie was, they don't need me. I don't belong. The second lie is, I don't need you. Think about the eye. We talked about the eye, the beautiful eye, and the magical, amazing eye that God's created. Now, think about that eye, the beautiful, celebrated, amazing eye. And now let's reach in right now and stick our finger in the eye and pull it out. Beautiful thought right before lunch, isn't it? We're pulling it out. Now there's a bunch of ligaments and I don't know, whatever is it. And then we get some scissors and snip all that, and now here we have it. Still beautiful? Isn't it? And then we put it right here on the stage. What a beautiful eyeball. How many know it's no longer beautiful? It's no longer functioning. And it's no longer alive. It becomes ugly and weird and monstrous and eventually dead. Boy, that's a beautiful prophetic gift. Wow, that's a powerful evangelistic gift. Boy, what an amazing worship leader. But you know what? If we disattach ourselves, that prophetic gift is no longer beautiful. Now it's monstrous. Now it's ugly. Now it's weird. And it's soon dead. It doesn't matter how beautiful that voice is and that preaching and that whatever the gift is. When we submit to the independence that says, I don't need you guys and I don't connect, it becomes something other than what God designed it to be at its best. That's the body. Let me end with this. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll wrap up with this. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. I wish you could have seen those kids I talked about earlier who had never been treated with honor. And when they graduated from college, the way we treated them and the honor, it was a beautiful thing watching people who were not used to honor receive honor. And he says, those that are not presentable, we give them more honor. I'll end with this story. This week, I had a coffee at Starbucks over on Franklin Road with a music producer. Not the barista. I know every Starbucks barista is a music producer also, but this was a guy we came and met there. He's not a member of this church, and he's a big-time producer of worship music. And he told me a story that really, I think, connects to this. He talked about back in the day when, some of you will know this, some of you mean nothing to you, in the day when Vineyard was sort of that was the big worship music around the world, and their stuff was going everywhere. One of their main worship leaders, their church had a ministry to homeless people. And here's what this guy did, one of the most prolific worship writers from a generation ago. He would minister to these homeless people, and then they would say something. He'd go, can I quote you on that? Sure. And then he'd stick one word that they said in a song, and he'd put them on there as the co-writer. He would split the song with them. So they had honor and dignity. Nobody had ever treated them that way. And then they also got money as a result. And I thought, that's what Paul's talking about. Those who aren't used to honor, we treat them with special honor. And those that seem like they don't have a whole lot to give, no, there's something there contributing that matters. So listen, here's the concluding thought of this whole thing. I need my local church. My local church needs me. I need Bethel, and Bethel needs me. You need Bethel, and Bethel needs you. Okay? Don't accept any other thought but that. I need my church. My church needs me. I need to connect. Pastor James, come up and close us with a word of prayer.
Come on, let's give God praise down here. Let's give God praise in the upper venue. God met us right here, right now. Thank you, Pastor Steve. What an awesome word. I thank God, but the moment's not over. While the Holy Spirit is still here in the upper venue, while the Holy Spirit is here in the sanctuary, I want you to reach into your bulletin, and I want you, for the final Sunday of the We Are Family series, pull out your We Are Family card. This is it. You don't have to do this anymore for about a year. Till next year. I want you to begin to put your name, email, and phone number on it. This is a point of accountability. Everybody get a pen. Everybody's participating. The first week I asked you to fill out a card that asked you the question, were you a member, were you connected? The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord flourish. The second week I gave you a card and asked you, did you have community? Are you in a life group? Does someone personally know you? Are you in a discipleship relationship with somebody? Are you in a small group? Does somebody intimately know you? And are you going through the Bible with somebody, you know, on a one-to-one relationship or in a small group context? Third, I asked you, are you serving in your local church? Are you making a contribution with your time, talent, and your treasure? And we asked you to actually get involved and fill out a card. The fourth week, we gave you a card and we told you all of the opportunities you had to honor the Great Commission by going out locally and engaging your community and your culture, which is the beginning of the disciple-making process. The first E, engage. And today, maybe none of those cards inspired you. Get your name down there. Don't check a box yet. And in all those small group activities, because all of them lead to a small group, you just haven't found where you fit in. And that's okay. Because this moment is designed to catch you and help you get somewhere. Because we're family. You've got to begin connecting somewhere. And maybe when you can't get it in a small context, there's just a bigger context that you can begin in. So maybe you need to begin in our weekly, if this is you, men's meetings, our breakfast, our monthly breakfasts that happen on Saturdays, or the women's Bible studies that happen weekly on Mondays, well-balanced Mondays. Or maybe it's our marriage ministry that has a plethora of things from date nights to marriage help to actual marriage mentors that will actually walk with you. Big group to a small group. That's the way we work. We get you in a big group, but guess what? It's always going to come down to a small group. Parenting. Maybe you don't know what to do with your kids. Don't worry. I didn't know. Somebody had to help me. I didn't know what to do. Maybe you're a mom, and we have our mom builders. You just need a moment away from your kids because you don't know what you feel right now. Okay? It's okay. There's other moms who feel just like you, and you need to get in a room with a small group of moms. This starts big, but it gets small, and you need to hear another mommy mo with you. But you got to check the box. Financial peace. When you are broke, sometimes nothing makes sense. I can't think. I don't understand the Bible. I understand life. You just shake. It's okay. We have hundreds of people here in our culture that are going through toward financial victory and peace. You can get in the loop. Just start. It's okay. The great majority of our church have gone through and we live differently. Dave doesn't know everything, but guess what? Dave's living nice. He knows more than us. Okay? Youth, singles, children, college, prayer. You need to get involved. So now, listen to the Holy Spirit. And don't overthink this. Check a box or two right now. Move. Check a box or two right now. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't exempt yourself. Don't be over spiritual here. Once you've done that, I want you to pass that card to the right. And I want the person on the end of the row to collect the cards. And there's an envelope at the end. And I want you to tuck it in there. And then I want everybody in the upper venue to stand up. And here to stand up. Pastor Justin, at this time, I want to hand that upper venue service over to you. And I want you to dismiss that service with an altar call. And I'm going to take this service and I'm going to dismiss you guys here with an altar call. God love you, upper venue. You guys look amazing. God bless you. Here, if you don't know that Jesus lived the life you should have lived and died the death you should have died in your place, if you don't know that he's offering today because of his death, burial, and resurrection, salvation to you if you repent and believe, and you need to come to him, then today is your day not to ignore that beating and knocking on your heart, but to say yes to it. So bow your head, close your eye, don't move around, don't overthink this moment that with all of the busyness that's going around in the room, that God could be speaking to you. And he is speaking to you. You are here. Some of you just need to come back to him, and some of you need to say it for the first time. But nobody looking, just me, right now, when I count to three, if that's you, then you need to come back to the Lord or confess the Lord for the first time with nobody looking for me. I just want you to shoot your hand up in the air like you're breaking free. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Down. You can put them down. Now look up at me. All we do is we take 30 seconds at Bethel and we praise God. And if you raise your hand or wanted to raise your hand, I'm just going to stand right here and you can meet me and then we're going to be dismissed. Begin to praise God right now. And if you raise your hand or you wanted to, come on. If you raise your hand or you wanted to, come meet me right now, because God loves you too much to leave you where you're at, where you were. If that's you, come on. God wants to meet you. God wants to see you. Come on. That's right, my brother. I love you. I love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Come on. Is anybody else? Come on. Come on and praise him. Come on. Come on. Just praise. 10 more seconds. If you're here, you need it. I don't know why. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. God bless. Lord, as we leave this place, we pray you go with us. Keep us in the center of your will and the apple of your eye. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. I love you so much. If you have any needs, ministry team, come on down. We'll be here to meet your needs. Any ministry team, come on down and we'll meet your needs.